Well, let us agree in prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for death and fulfillment of the scriptures in your resurrection. Thank you for life eternal. We give you praise. We receive your word this evening. We decree that we are edified and you, Jesus, are glorified. We ask, oh God, help me, Lord, to speak your words and let your words come with grace and power. Let it bless. Let it edify. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, with the right words. Take control. Have your way. Do your work in our minds, in our spirits, in our bodies, in our minds, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We decree it's a supernatural experience. It's a supernatural one. Amen. All right, guys, what have we been studying? We have been talking about, obviously, we know that this is a series on evangelism, or not merely evangelism, but it's a series on the abilities of evangelism, and we have been addressing certain necessary, essential points, essential aspects of this concept, of this this topic. And yes, I trust that so far some of us are following. You know, one thing about God's word is that there's no rush to it. You know, how we sort of grew up, some of us anyways, like myself, we grew up with that. We're used to the punchline kind of teaching. Okay, you know, the pastor will come and say, what are we talking about today? Today we are talking about love. And then we go to one or two, three scriptures that talk about love and say, love is defined as XYZ. Therefore, you must love. Sermon is finished within 20, 15 minutes. So it won't be boring, right? So it won't bore people. We often like say, okay, what is faith? Today we are studying faith. What is faith? And then probably they say, if maybe it's like a class, what we call Bible study, then where what usually meant by Bible study was when we usually came together to, you know, talk, when everyone had the mic to talk, not mic literally, but everyone had the opportunity, was given the voice to talk. You understand? So you say, what is faith? What does faith mean to you? What does faith mean to you? And then everybody say, faith is this, faith is that. They will not say, okay, so let's look at the Bible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we know that that is faith. So you must have faith. You must have faith. Bible study, finish. Everybody goes back to Netflix. So that was the normal, that was what we knew then as church or Bible study or something like that, something within those borders. So however, growing up, we get to realize, and God brings light to us, his children, and let us see that Bible study is meant to be thorough, is meant to be painstaking, is meant to actually be painful on the body, as Paul will say to Timothy, for times will come when men will not do what endure sound doctrine. So it means that there's an endurance that's required of Bible study, or sound doctrine, sound teaching. In the scripture, you see Paul teaching from morning till evening. He won events in Acts 20, in the other event in Acts 20, 28. Teaching for 12 hours plus, in another event, teaching for years, daily, for 2 years, every day. And what is he doing? He's simply proving that Jesus was the Christ. How can you prove that Jesus was the Christ for 2 years? That's too long. Go to your point, man. You are meant to, in today's world, say, you are meant to hit the nail on the head, you know. But in those days, it wasn't like that, you know. They often had people to come together and hear their exegetical discourse, you know, and in that, some of them are going to, even if they knew that they were going to disagree with you at the end, they would listen to you speak for as long as you want to speak. So that's what they usually called, at times they called it exhortation. Exhortation is not just a short word. Say, what do you have an exhortation, please? Say, God is saying now in the book of Matthew chapter 10, lalaba ushanta ibuskatari. He's saying now, ishambarebusha. He says, I'm freeing my children tonight. He's going now to free his children. I just thought that I just dropped in my spirit. That's not exhortation. So exhortation was usually more like an explanation of something, you know, a specific subject. What do you have to say? And oftentimes, sometimes it was short, at other times it was long. But so there's no like a cap to it. So that's in those days, Paul would start, and then he's teaching for hours, and then goes to days, you know. So Paul came to, I think that's Acts, that's the book of, I think that's Acts 27, after the shipwreck, you know, the whole events that go on there. And then scripture said that he was on the island of Malta, and then he met complete Gentiles. These are people who are idol worshippers, but they had issues with sicknesses, disease, and all of that. And God used that avenue to witness to them through healings and all of that. And then Paul taught them for 12 hours. You know, that was something, you know. these are new converts. And today you say, oh, if you're a new convert, don't take too much time. You know, they're just new to the word. Don't bore them, because Jesus is not that important. I'm just not saying that, you know, I'm just trying to use sarcasm there, you know. So if Jesus is important to you, it means that you have to give them him by properly explaining Jesus to them. Don't be in a haste to explain God's word. Excuse me. That's why we will get to a point where we can say for the whole of 2 months we can just deal on faith, for example. We can deal on the subject of faith or the name of Jesus, or we can just call it whatever, the word of God. We can just say, okay, we are starting a series on discipleship. We're starting a series on faith, starting a series on salvation. And then we say, for the next 3 months, we're going to be teaching on salvation. So we will not come up and say, oh, why you say salvation, salvation? I know we are saved. I know Jesus died. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so you see, you know, let's not bore them. You say, let's not bore them. No, when you want to teach Jesus, you teach, you take your time to explain what you're saying, so that when you explain it properly, they would understand your conversation accurately. Yeah, attention span of people. You say attention span has reduced. The attention span has reduced. Well, the word of God and its value and its demand does not change. Hence, we are the ones to subject ourselves in discipline, not in discipline now, but in discipline, to listen to that word, to take out eyes to listen to the word. Right? So that is the way we grow as believers. Hallelujah. So I don't know how I got there. Anyways, amen. Glory to God. So that's how we stay on this topic. We are, what are we doing? Because we know the word of God, no matter how the topic you give to it, is still the same. So if I give this topic, if I give this series, if I say the title of this series is Tongues and Interpretation, that doesn't stop me from teaching eternal salvation, or teaching you conduct, or teaching you giving, or teaching you the supernatural, or teaching the gifts of the Holy Ghost, teaching you whatever. Is still the same word of God, or explaining Genesis to you. So that is true. That is true. Don't matter, because the word of God is the word. You don't even need to add topics. At some point, I was thinking, do I need to add topics? But it's good to add topics, just so you can have a you can have people follow you on a, should I say, on a logos, okay, like a project. So people can know, okay, we are traveling through this line, okay? That's the reason we have to use titles, all right, and all of that. So we have been talking about the abilities of evangelism, explaining how that we do not we go with the word of God, we go with the power of God. Paul, speaking in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," right? The gospel of Christ. The gospel is the power of God to save. So that means that the only power that God has to save is the gospel. So you can imagine, what if I am not preaching the gospel? Okay? That means I am not using that power that God has to save. Hence, it is only impossible to save a man by any other means other than the gospel. So the gospel is that power of God. And we say that the gospel is in preaching the words. Okay? In preaching the words. Even if you are singing, the singing must accompany the words of God. In fact, it is the words that will be accompanied by singing. Paul says, I will pray in the spirit. I will pray in my understanding. I will sing in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14. And then I will sing in my understanding. That means the first things that come is actually speaking. The first thing is praying. Or that's in the context of prayers now. But then now talks about singing. So first is prayers, then singing. I will pray, then I will sing. I will pray, then I will sing. So you don't just say, I'm going to sing. God has called me as a worshiper. Say, God is raising. Excuse me. Let me not say that. You know, I'm growing actually. You know, somebody needs to, I need to celebrate how much I have grown from certain things. You know, I used to pick on things very easily. But I've grown from that. Hallelujah. God is helping us. Doesn't mean that we will not pick on certain things that are necessary. You know? So, you know, say God is raising worshippers. No, that's not the mission here. Worshipping is it's not exclusive to those who have a nice voice. We said that before, that worshipping is every believer that has the Spirit of God. John chapter 4 says, for God seeketh such. It says in verse 24, it says, for a time is come and now is the time that what men will worship God in spirit and in the truth. That is referring to those people who would live in the spirit. That is believers who would have the indwelling of the spirit. So that means everyone who has the Spirit of God, Romans 8 tells us that in verse 9, for if the Spirit of Christ is in you, is not in you, you are none of his. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That's Romans 8, verse 9. So anyone that has the Spirit of God is automatically a worshipper. So a worshipper is not someone that has a trumpet, has a guitar, has a nice voice, or has that quote unquote anointing to lead worship. Are there people who are specially graced for that? Yes, they are. There are people who are specially graced, and it's not unique to believers. It's a talent. People have that gracing, that gifting, that natural gifting to in music. Hallelujah. They have that natural gifting in music. Some people are much more inclined with music and learning it and delivering it in the best way possible that you could hear. Now, it at some point has to be bridled to some moderation in terms of delivering the gospel, so it's not be distracting. However, some people are specially gifted for that. And those are the people that you see that often stand out. So it doesn't mean that there's a special grace upon you because you are now, your song is now selling. Hallelujah. Let me not say that too much, because we know we are currently on a song. Our first song is almost due. I wanted to send it to the group chat, but I said, no, these guys are not be coming around. So they're not worthy of the gift of God. Amen, amen. You know, I'm going to deal with that a little bit tonight. So, but yeah, our song is almost done. And I would have sent us the progress so far, but I said, why not just wait for the full work? So we'll be done. Just so I don't say so many things in this recording that is not necessary to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you're a Gentile hearing this, you need to be saved. So you need to hear the real information. Glory to God. Now, what are we saying? The gospel is that power of God to save. The gospel is the power of God to save. So if I'm not preaching the gospel, it means that I do not intend to save, or I am not working with God's power to save. In Matthew's Gospel 28, look at it. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 19 says, it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Are you there? So we said, go ye therefore and do what? And teach. That word teach means to educate people. Educate people by teaching them. By teaching them. You have to teach the word. You have to teach that word. So it's not to go and shout. It's not to go and dance. It's not to go and dance. So I was saying last week, I said, if you know that when you find someone who's demon possessed, I don't know if you guys have seen someone that's actually demon possessed, or someone that is erratic, someone that's behaving abnormal, right? That's actually demon possessed. Or you see someone that is crazy, right? If you know that, if that person wants to attack you, if you know that as a believer, I'm not saying as an atheist now, but as a believer, if you know your only defense will be words of your mouth, words, not your talent. Not that you say, when a demon wants to come upon you, you say, let me use my superpowers. Let me use my talent now. Let me dance. Let me break dance. The way the demon will eat you, you will see yourself in the resurrection, dancing in the presence of God, because you are eternally saved. Hallelujah. But your body was condemned. Scripture says, this tabernacle shall be swallowed up in immortality. Yours was swallowed up in mortality, unfortunately. Amen. But that's not the will of God. So if you know that when you're faced with opposition, such as a demon-possessed person, you won't say, there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, give me that strings now. Oh, there's no strings. Let's go and look for... Can anybody play strings? Please. We need to set the atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to move. Oh, really? But before you say holy, you know? Or maybe you say, my talent is drawing. I just... I'm drawing the Holy Ghost. And the demon is coming after you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bible says, thus speaks of the madman of Gadara when he came to Jesus. Bible says he came and he fell at his feet. And then Jesus spoke to him. He spoke to him. He commanded him to get out. Hallelujah. Words of your mouth. If you know you say Jesus. You say Jesus. So even if you say, hey, well, Jesus. You know, you're not, if you know that's what you're going to do, that tells you that you are facing a much more powerful, yet not spectacular, but yet also powerful spiritual opposition when you are going to preach the gospel, when you are going on evangelism. It's a real, let me tell you guys the truth. The most intense level of opposition you would face is when you want to win a soul. I tell you the truth. It's not even when you want to heal the sick or cast out the devil. Hallelujah. Most of the time, I don't shout to cast out devils. I don't shout. I don't need to say anything because there's the presence of God. Hallelujah. I don't need to do anything. You understand? Because the fire day, there's fire. I have the fire. You understand? I get the boy Shakayaba. But you see, when it comes to winning a soul, dear friends, I told her it's not coffee that can win a soul. It's not coffee, sir. Scripture says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They're not biscuits. They are not in biscuits. Oh, are the weapons of this warfare in that context, he was speaking of evangelism and teaching the gospel. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, they are not earthly. They are not materialistic. Oh, let's just arrange this, arrange that. No, the weapons of our warfare. Now, we say we cannot have those things. No, but are those our weapons? No, we can't say let's use this because if we use the word of God, they'll hate it. Let them hate it. Yeah. But some people will like it. Some people will hear you. Listen, you do not need to become what you are not for you to bring them to what you think that they should be. You don't need to be conformed to the levels, the patterns, the grain, and follow the grain of this world. That is, you know what I mean, grain? I mean, you don't need to go in the direction that they are going for you to, all right, for you to win them. No, you don't have to do that. Jesus came against the grain. They said he was coming to cause division. Hallelujah. They told Jesus that. Now, please, if you didn't listen to last teaching, there's certain things I explained in this verse. Please ensure that you do that. So, Jesus came against the grain. So rather than spending so much money buying coffee, buying this, I thought someone asked last teaching last week. He said, does it mean we can't go out and share stuff to people? Let's say the homeless, less privileged. I said, you can, but that is not for evangelism, because you don't even have the resources. You know how much you try to pay your house rent and find money to eat, right? You haven't fed yourself. You are already thinking of winning souls with biscuit and all of that. Are you the government? Hallelujah. Is that what Jesus sent you to do? Don't use certain 1% statistics to cover the whole 100%, 99%. No, 99% should be that you are preaching. Then your 1% can be out of humanitarianism. You can go and do that. You don't have to be a Christian to do that. But let it not be that you are used as a strategy to win a soul. No, you can decide to say, I'm going to set a specific amount of money for myself and say, okay, I'll use this to give to the less privileged, all right? Or give to, as God has prospered you, all right? Or as you have prospered, all right? So you can decide on that. But don't say, okay, we are going on evangelism now. We need to import this. No, yes, we don't need that. So Jesus then says, go. He says, all power. I explained the word power there. What he says, the word power there is the word authority. It's the word exousia. It means legal authority, something that you have the license to do things according to your will. So not directly your will now, but according to your desire. The desire that is produced from the Spirit of God. So you can say things and they will happen. You can say things and they will happen. Exactly the way it will happen. So when you know that you can say things and it will happen, what do? You go with the power. The power to teach, educate the gospel to all men. Go and teach. Then now says teaching them. And I said the word teaching is the word that means to build people up, to indoctrinate people, to disciple people. All right? To disciple people, to make them, okay, oh yes, oh, that's true. Oh, yes, I now really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So we go with signs and wonders. Look at the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, Lata Daba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Katapaya. Have your way. Acts chapter 4. It says, and the Acts chapter 4. Are you there? Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I think, oh, should I just call someone to just read? Just so I can be sure. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Acts 4, quickly. It says, and they spoke unto the people. King James says, speak. Right? The priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, being grieved that they taught the people and preached. Now, this is after they're preaching the gospel and all of that. All right, okay. Hold on 1 second. Someone is... I'm gonna have to send a second. Acts chapter 4. Alright. Okay, just quickly, let's go to verse 7. Acts chapter 4, verse 7 says, Now this is after Peter had made that lame man to walk. Okay. In verse 7, they then asked Peter, he says, and they asked, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, pay attention here, or by what name have you done this? So they asked him, what power, whose authority? That word power is the word dunamis, is the word that means inherent strength. So it means that there's an inherent strength that is available for the believer to work miracles. There's an inherent strength that is available for the believer to work what? Miracles. There's an inherent strength available for the believer to work miracles. Are you there? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 8, he said, you rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, all right? Let's go to verse 10, please. It says, be it known unto you and all the people in Israel that by the name of Jesus. Now, he said Jesus. He says by the name. Now, we explained why is the resurrection of Jesus important. We explained that the reason the resurrection of Jesus is important is not just because, oh, Jesus is the first to resurrect from the dead. He's, you know, he died. And after three days, he rose. You know, and then because he rose, so he rose from the dead. So. He means he's the only one that rose from the dead. He's not. Jonah in the Bible died and rose again. Also say, but I thought he's the first that died and rose again. Well, it depends on what you mean. Technically, he's not the first person to have died and be raised again from the dead. Other prophets raised people from the dead. Other people rose from the dead, but he's the first begotten from the dead. Meaning that he's God in man that died and came back to life. So that every other man will have that same reality, ability to be raised by an inherent power that dwells within them. Alright? So he's the first begotten from the dead. But that is not enough to say, oh, Jesus is important. Not necessarily. We explained that the reason that Jesus' resurrection is valuable today. Now, if you have not listened, please go and listen to last week. I think the last one or the one before. The reason that Jesus' resurrection is important is because of the promise he made to David. What was the promise he made to David? If you read the book of 2 Chronicles 7, 1 to 17, I believe that's correct. Jesus or God, right? Yahweh makes a covenant with David and his lineage, saying that of the fruit of his loins, meaning that in your lineage will come a king that will build me a temple and a kingdom, and that kingdom will be everlasting, and in that kingdom there will be security, eternal security in that kingdom. David thought it was Solomon, but he was wrong. So David said, you will not suffer my soul to be in hell, that is Hades, the place of the dead, not fire. By the way, we are going to the book of Revelation very soon. We're going to completely destroy, dismantle, demystify, and rip naked, when you see that book of Revelation again, you will not be scared. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So, how did I get here? So you see, so he made that promise. David said, "You will not leave my soul in what? In Hades. You will not leave my soul in Hades." In the place of the dead, that's where dead people are. But he said, but in your presence, there's a fullness of joy. That means at his resurrection. So David had a belief that God was going to, even though he was going to die, he knew there was one son that he would raise from the dead. And when that son rises from the dead, that son will live forever. And that son's kingship will be forever. That means the king will now rule over the earth, and God's authorities, God's decrees will be on the earth forever. That means it will now be that the one who was previously in authority, which was the devil, would now be usurped over by the real king that will rule over the earth. And in that reign, there's authority, there's restoration, there's salvation, there's healing, and all of that. So that means the resurrection of Jesus, validates his what? His kingship, that Jesus is king. That is why his resurrection is important, because that promise he made to David has been fulfilled. Please go and listen to that teaching, by the way. Hallelujah. So now Peter says here in Acts chapter 4 verse 10, look at it again. They asked Peter, how did you do this miracle? Peter then said, now be it known to every one of you that it was by the name of Jesus That word name there, that word name is the word oroma. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not Greek. I'm sorry. Oroma, okay? Okay, hallelujah. Aroma in the Greek, it means a name, a legacy, more like an authority. But it says the authority of Jesus. Now, why it says authority of Jesus? What do you mean authority of Jesus? What's so special about Jesus? The authority of who? Okay, why didn't he just say the authority of Joel? Okay, why was the name of Jesus Jesus? Matthew 1:21 says, and the virgin shall give birth to a son and name him what? Jesus. Why Jesus? The word Jesus is the word that in the Greek is the word Jesus. In the Hebrew is Yehoshua or Joshua in English now. Right? Is Yehoshua, is the same Joshua, it's just Joshua, right? Yehoshua. What does it mean? It means God is salvation. So it means in the name of the Savior. So that means the name, the power of God is to save. Look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it. It says, be it known unto you that by the authority of the Savior, the anointed Savior, that's Christ, Jesus Christ. The word Christ means anointed. So we can just say the authority of the anointed Savior or God is salvation. It says that one whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you. And so look at verse 12. He says, neither is there what? Salvation. See that qualifier? Salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That means the name of Jesus speaks of salvation. That is why the gospel cannot be about business or prosperity in it. It's actually salvation from death, eternal destruction. All right? Salvation. And healing. Hallelujah. The miracles of God. That's salvation. Making things that were imperfect perfect. So you don't dummy down to carnal things. Now let's look at the book of Acts chapter 8. Hallelujah. Amen. Shapa. Thank you, Father. You're working, working, working. Acts chapter 8. Are you ready to go on this journey with me? We're going to start from verse 1. Now, I'll use the NLT just to avoid a lot of doubts. All right. Are you there? Acts 8. This is just after Stephen was killed. What a sad feeling, you know. But we thank God that he's alive. We thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Acts chapter 8. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. It says a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. History has it that this persecution lasted for about 7 years, 4 to 7, or something like that. And all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea. So that means when you're preaching, when you're evangelizing with the power of God, you attract persecution. You attract persecution. Now, is it that God is the one sending the persecution? No. But God, in his foreknowledge, knew that the reaction of darkness to light is oppression. Said to us, you will surely go through persecution. Now, a preacher said this, and I agree with him. When you are serving God and it looks like there's no opposition anywhere, say, check your service again. Check it again. If you say, I'm serving God, oh God is so beautiful, look what you've done for me. So there's a new song that came out now. It says, see her. See how you brought. Hey, I've forgotten the song. Ah, I think it's See How Far You've Brought Me, something like that. Beautiful song. See how far. So, if your Christian life is all about like, yes, God has been good to me, I don't have any debts to pay, money is coming in steadily, my kids are doing well, my job is well, my relationships well, I don't have sickness in my body, God is so good, it's so beautiful, just recently I got a promotion, blah, 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 blah. And you're actually serving God. And you say, okay, you're serving God in effectiveness. And there's no persecution. Check that service again. Check it again. If you are using... Let me see. You know, Satan does not have a problem with religion. Are you hearing me? Satan does not have a problem. Katapaha. Yes, Father Kuhatus, Anoske, Susu Prahata, Le Provra Apatoma, Hadekelika, Eposa. I give you praise, Lord. Have your way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Satan has no issues with religion. He has no issues. You go to church, you sing your songs, you dance. That is, those songs that, well, you just do some vocal warm-ups, do choir rehearsals. Do re mi so so la ti da re. Do your voice like this. Ooh. Okay, on Sunday, make sure that your notes are right. Blah, blah, blah. You sing those songs that will, make people dance. Satan has no issues. Skelewu, oya skelewu for Jesus. If you see my dance today in church, I scatter the church. And then the pastor said, let's read a book. Let me make up something now. I'm the pastor now. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews. Chapter 11. He said, now faith. Somebody say, faith. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not hope. Oh, but it's faith. Have you got faith? We have a faithful God. You have to be faithful, God. He says, it's a substance. Oh, God is not a God of promises alone. He's a God of substance. He says faith is that substance. Friends, God wants to give you substances. He doesn't just want to give you promises. He just wants to give you that substance, that car that you've been waiting for all your life. He wants to give you your substance. He's saying that substance is coming. He says now, it's coming now. It's coming now. Look to your neighbor, say, that is the church. Satan doesn't have a problem with that. But you don't forget. You forget if you begin to introduce Bible study to that and investigate that teaching, you just realize that the word "now" does not even exist in that verse in the original text. So that means you're actually preaching a word that does not exist as the word of God. You say faith is now; it's not then. It is there, friends. The word "now" is not in the original text. What does this verse mean? It just simply means faith, right? Look at it. Faith is the substance. Let me just help you guys explain this scripture quickly. The word substance. Let's just read this whole verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. This is not a definition of faith. It's simply a description of the faith, the nature of the faith that the old patriarchs of the Old Testament, the prophets, the patriarchs from Noah and the rest of them, all the kind of experiences they had. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What does this mean in clear terms? This is what it means. Now let's take a word. Now faith, right, is the substance, right, of things that they hoped for. And the evidence of things that they did not see. So he's saying that thing that they did not see had a substance. It had a substance. That is, there was a physical typification, typology, a sort of a, should I call it a metaphor? Not metaphor, not just like something that a symbolism, a physical symbolism of something they hoped for. For example, Noah expected salvation that was eternal, but what he saw was a physical, temporal salvation, the substance in an ark, right? Right, same as Abel, right, to please God, he could not please God by that of the spirit, but he could please God by a substance. He says he had faith in that demonstration of giving him that fat calf. Is the substance of what they hoped for, right? The evidence of something that they did not see. It's not saying that today faith is they turn this scripture up and down and say the title deed, and some translations just made the fun of this scripture. Just read it from the previous chapter, you would understand it better. You know, it's not trying to start a sermon. Hallelujah. It just by the, I don't know how we got to this, anyways, but that's just it. Satan has no issues with religion. I can just make up a scripture, any scripture. I can just say, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth. That one is very easy. Let's pick one Old Testament verse. Let's just say Ezra chapter 3, verse 1. Right? Let's just make something up. This is just called religion. Satan has no issues with this because it's so easy. And when the seventh month was come, right? Now, obviously, when we know the word seven, we obviously it's perfection, right? It says, and the children of Israel were in the cities. Now, I'm just making this up. It says, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. All I have to do is make up a meaning out of this verse by giving meaning to the word Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the presence of God. Jerusalem is the place of prosperity. So I would say in the seventh month. So let's just say today is the seventh. Today is 21st. Let's quickly charge my stuff here. Today is 21st. I just say, 21 plus 6. In the 27th, we are going to come together. And in that coming together, our Jerusalem, we are going to prosper. That's all I have to do. It's called religion. Religion does not respect the sanctity of the scriptures. It doesn't really follow the word of God. It just does things that are, it's more like a self-help, I'm trying to find the right word for it. Kind of school. Self-help kind of school. That's just what it is. Self-help. It just provides self-help. Hallelujah. That's what religion is. You just go to church. You don't practice the gifts of the spirit. You don't fast. You don't, fast for the right reasons, right? Not fast to get more power of God, fast for your prayers to be answered and all of that. No, but you're not, you don't fast, you don't pray, you don't evangelize, you don't minister the gifts of the spirit, you don't prophesy constantly, you won't find opposition. You will find, obviously, as a human being, you go through things, but opposition for the gospel, you won't find it. And that's the issue. The moment you begin to be serious with the gospel, and I've met many people that, excuse me, with, see, Kapadosh. See, in my little experience, I've realized that sometimes it's good to take your time to know the people that you call fellow minister. Excuse me. That someone is vocal about Christianity or being a Christian does not necessarily mean that they're Christian in the reality of it. Because when you check certain things, you discover at some point, you say, oh, so you are not actually for real, right? So I say, you can't pray for 12 hours with me. Let's pray. I say, don't disturb. You just cannot. Why are you so serious? You know, you can't pray for 12 hours with me. Let's pray so that we'll go and evangelize. Evangelize what? Evangelize what? Did you die? Are you the one that killed Jesus? Why are you so serious? 12 hours. You see that face like this. You know? That's just religion. It's just religion. And it's not to condemn people, not to say because you're not, that's not the idea here. That's not the point I'm making. But if someone really wants God, at least there's supposed to be a place where the person is open to learn and to grow. But not you're repulsive towards it or hostile towards doing the right thing. Hallelujah. You just have to ask a question, because the moment, and in this UK specifically speaking, just watch as God will have it in the next decade. In the next decade, this UK will not be the same. In the next decade, it will not be the same. And as a believer, don't think that persecution, listen, persecution in every form will come. It will come. You can't be so naive and think that Satan will just sit down like this. And people are coming to light. Real truth. You know you can play around with nonsense. You can behave anyhow when you are in religious space. But when you begin to follow the Bible, you see a demon come out of things. I'm telling you guys the truth. You can't even do ministry, when you want to follow the truth and be sustained. If you want to do ministry, teaching the word, praying, and you know that your life is literally not your own again, you would realize that this, what I am doing right now, what I'm preaching to you, I've not even got to my point. What I'm preaching to you, you know, sometimes you have a plan, but let's just walk with God for let's just walk with God for a second. We're always working with God, but you see, what I'm doing right now is, should I say, I won't put a percentage to it, but it is nothing compared to the preparations before now. Do you know what it means for you to be privileged to preach eternal truth? Lives depend on these things. And you think when you just close meeting, boom, you just turn on what now? YouTube, Netflix, or something like that. Or maybe just go and just start eating or start playing around, or maybe just find a movie to watch, or you go and start playing football or FIFA or something like that. I don't know what people do for fun these days, because I don't know what I need to do. I was asking my friends the other day, what do you guys do for fun? Because I don't know what to do for fun. I need to find something fun to do. Not like I don't know, but I need something. But that's just the thing. That's not the truth. You understand? This is just, you know, when you've done this, you go back to yourself and you pray. You pray for the people that have heard the word. Some of you, I'm praying for you just so that, you know, this period that we're just managing online, just managing. This is a short time, but I know it can be difficult. But I know that you also need some level of help from God. Your resilience and your discipline matters. But to some level, if I don't pray for you, I know what can happen. I definitely know what can happen. And I'm not stupid. If I'm a religious person, all I have to do, hallelujah, is just do fun stuff. Do stuff that are interesting, that everybody likes. Yeah, it's not so stressful. I don't need to even pray much. That's why I don't, let's not mention names of people because it's not right. My pastor, not my pastor alone, but even the word of God teaches us to be focused on our own work. So let not mind other people that are doing the wrong. I believe you guys are sensible. You know the people that are not doing the right things. I know some of you just joined us. But you see the truth there. Ministry, when you're doing ministry, think well. It's not just preaching. It's not preaching. If you think it's just preaching, you will gas out. I tell you the truth. If you're not giving to the word, you will lose it. Jesus said, no man builds something without counting the cost. That's just by the way. I said Satan has no issue with religion. But the moment you start with supernatural workings of God, you pray in the spirit. You pray, you katab, you vakato, you pay, you pata. You engage demons with revelation knowledge. I tell you, that's when you need to be much more careful. I've gotten to a point where your life is not, you can't do certain things, not because you cannot, but you can't, because the Spirit of God can't even permit you to do it. You at some point you just like I can't, I don't have time for this one. I cannot have time, I don't really have time. No, there's so much work to be done. Because when you start taking God's word seriously, opposition will definitely come. It will come, and that's what it is about God's word. That's what it is about God's word. Peter explained this. They experienced, so it was because they just made a limb. So you might be teaching or preaching your, you know, God is good, God, nobody said anything. Just make a lame man walk. You will see that there are demons that exist in this world. Or just save his soul. Wait, that's too far. Just go evangelism. Hallelujah. I don't know if you guys feel it, but me, when I evangelize, right, I literally feel like I've let out so much security. Let me not say security, but I literally feel empty. That's why you don't go on evangelism after eating eba. Excuse me, for those who Joel might not know what eba is. Eba is a Greek word. Hallelujah. You just finish eating garri and soup, or maybe just finish having chicken wings, chips and fish and all manner. And they say, well, it's good. Let's go and win some souls. Hallelujah. As we close, you know, praise God. Some of you are just waiting for the time. May God help you. Hallelujah. I know God loves you guys. You must also show love for him by giving him your time. A sacrifice. Amen. But you see, so the thing, that's by the way, you think that just by eating and drinking and then you want to win a soul, your mouth will be full of smoke. You'll be a weakling. The way the demons that work in the minds of unbelieving people, they will just dumb you down. They will just silence what you're saying. But let me tell you the truth. Just take that time. Take out some time to pray in the spirit. You've not prayed 3 hours before, but just pray 3 hours. Check and see the difference. Just or maybe go on a fast and then pray. It's going to be difficult. You will want to go crazy. But go crazy. No, at some point, I think I was doing a fast or something like that. I'm not eating for a while. I was praying and I felt like throwing up. I had to calm down and find something to put in my mouth. You understand? But you see, the result of that is something else. You heard of people that prayed in the cold. They prayed even when it was snowing. And that ice on their body, it melted. They prayed. These are people that I don't know. But it's because of their little efforts here and there, the word of God is still prevailing. And you think that by going from place to place with entertainment, you think, you are so deceived, that it's by doing that you can sustain God's word. No, dear. Don't be naive. Let's not do that. No. Go with the supernatural power. There's a power that is within you. I don't care how much you think you don't have that power. You have it. Hallelujah. You have that power. And then, we'll close with this. And so that we know where to resume next teaching. But before that, ensure that you wait for this announcement that we're going to have before we leave. Okay. Then, look at verse 13. No, let's say verse 13. Let's say, okay, let's read from verse 13. Just quickly, Acts chapter 8 from verse 13 as we close. Look at Acts 8 verse 13. Thank you, Father. Are you with me? Now, this is when, you know, Philip. Now, okay, you guys don't know who Simon is. Some of you might not know who Simon is. Like, David might not have heard of Simon. Now, if you read the book of Acts, there's a man named Simon that was a magician. he did a lot of things that amazed people. When those like this, you know, in that city. And then Philip came in, and then he began to preach the word of God, and he saw much more supernatural signs, miracles, and many workings of God. And then this magician guy, he said, you know what, I think I like this God. And then he believed in him. But then look at verse 18. We'll close here. And then when Simon saw, now I'm just talking about the experiences of evangelism. Maybe I should start this one as a new series. If experiences of evangelism. No, let's do it. The one we have. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. That is when they laid hands on people, right? They saw miracles happen. They saw supernatural signs, speaking in tongues, interpretation, all of that thing. Anything happening. The Holy Ghost was given. And he offered them money. He gave them money, saying, give me also this power. Let me read the verse in the NLT. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you. I like the King James version. It says, may your money perish with you. I say, go to hell. You know, may your money be destroyed with you, for you, for thinking God's gift can be bought. We'll close with this one. As a believer, there's always a temptation, and it's a temptation that is real. When you start doing ministry, there will be a temptation to want to deify yourself, or deify the gifts of God that you express, and even monetize it. You understand? There's a temptation. And that is one thing that, as a believer, you must avoid. There's a temptation to say that, oh, for you to come to my grace, you need to pay something, you need to do something. Because the truth is this, we labor so much, we do so much behind, and people don't tend to, not you guys at all, I'm not talking of you guys at all, people don't tend to care. People don't care. So you feel like you're not being recognized. You're not honored. So at some point, you just feel like I should do something so that these people will give me something. You understand? But the scripture shows us here that these things cannot be bought. They cannot be bought. To say you receive something, for you to give it, means that's the worth of it. If I give you $5 million, pounds, and because of that you pray for me and say, okay, from today you receive my grace, that means $5 million is the worth of your grace, and that is not true. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that a little bit more in our next teaching, and then we'll go into the expressions of that gift. Now as we close here, that's the word for today. Anyways, we'll continue on our next teaching. I'm sure that you are there. Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Are you blessed? Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. Right? Father, we thank you because we are not forgetful hearers, but we continue in hearing, and we are edified as we continue to hear. We decree that nothing stops us in anything that we do, especially in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, we are blessed by you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.